Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the Book of Life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Joshua and David had their worries, had their troubles in their day. But they knew no harm could overcome them when they'd kneel right down and pray.
Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the Book of Life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, February 25th, 2019, and I have to throttle back. I'm going to probably be rather excited today, and you know what happens when I get excited? I start slurring my words, and I just keep talking, but I have a special guest in the studio, a dear friend, somebody that God has used in my life over the many years, and I can't wait to share him with you all. In fact, Marianne will do a little bit of an introduction in just a minute, and then I'm certainly going to share some thoughts or some recollections on this man of God. But how are you doing with your verses? Are you looking at the new one this week? It's a memorization Monday, which those of you that have signed up for the challenge get to be a part of putting God's word in your heart and mind. And we're already hearing some transformational stories, some individuals that say,
yeah,
I haven't done scripture memory in a long time, and this is really exciting for me, to other small groups that are doing it together, to some friends that are doing it. We've sold over 100 books, and I think I have two more cases here. So we do have the book, The 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart, $10 at the Great News Radio Center here at Lincoln Square. And so Esther and Holly are on it.
Good.
They got their verses. It was a pretty easy one, the first one.
Yeah.
And so let's say it together, everyone. It's Genesis 1:1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
And we had a special guest last week, Bob Dickey, who's a part of the Prime Life Times in this radio ministry. And he shared just the importance of the foundation. It's all about God. He's the one that created it. He gives it purpose. He gives it meaning. Mm-hmm. And we can have meaning and purpose because he's created us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just a great verse, and we're going to do a special reading today out of this book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart. So I'm excited to do that in just a minute here. But yeah, the new verse for today, I can't wait to share it with you all. It's a great verse, and as I prayed about, Lord, who might be one of those 100 special guests we hope to have over the coming days, someone came to mind, somebody that I know loves God's word and has a great testimony. And I'll share a little more about him in just a minute. But maybe, Marianne, you can formally introduce him. I think this is the first time you two have met,
it
right?
It is.
Okay.
I have heard about you, though, Dr. Webb. Very good things. So I am very pleased to introduce Dr. David Webb on our Monday memorization. And Dr. Webb has been a family physician for 43 years, 41 of those at Carl, married to Judy.
I call her Jumpin' Judy.
She's still jumping around.
She's filled with energy, very active in a lot of things.
She's a worship director.
Very talented. I haven't seen her for a while, but Jumpin' Judy is how I always remember her.
She has 13 grandchildren and four daughters. That would keep you going. That would keep you going. So you have taught the Bible for 45 years, Dr. Webb.
I have. I love it.
That's incredible. And wrote a book, Wisdom of Life.
Yes.
About the Proverbs.
And in fact, I'll tell a little story. And Dave, I'm going to do a disclaimer for you. Dave is very humble. And he doesn't want accolades. He doesn't want attention. This is probably the last thing he'd want me to feature him or put any focus on him. But I must. I just feel like because of his testimony, being a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and an ambassador for God, I do want to point out a couple things. Is it still your heart's desire to teach through the whole Bible? And that was, I think, one of your prayers years ago. Lord, extend my life so I can teach through the whole Bible, every book.
Yes, it is. In fact, that's why I spend 2 or 3 years on a Bible book, just to extend that period of time a little bit longer.
I think the book of John was like 5 years or so at the Twin City Bible Church or something.
Right.
Yeah. Of the many, many pastors I know and people that I know that love God's Word, mm-hmm. I put Dave up at the top. He loves his Bible. He doesn't just love the Bible. He loves the creator of the Bible. Mm-hmm. He loves God. He loves Jesus, the Word. And that's, I guess my point was, that's one of the reasons why with this verse today that we're going to talk about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Dave loves the Word. Dr. David Webb loves the Word. He loved the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to point that out. And any of you that have maybe had Dr. Webb as your physician or your primary care provider, sure. whatever the terminology is, you probably have prayed with Dr. Webb. I know that's a practice that most all, anyone that I know that has been served by you, Dr. Webb, has said he's prayed for me. He spends quality time. He's a great doctor. You, Dr. Webb, have hosted, I don't know, 5 or 6 different trips where you were our primary teacher in Israel, dividing God's Word. He loves to teach God's Word.
I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Yeah,
I mean
no pressure.
Wait.
But
I want to learn. I'm
a wonderful father, a wonderful husband, wonderful grandfather. Did you say 13?
13.
I know one of his grandfathers. Children from
Those kids
Awana
been busy.
Times, yeah, little Sammy. But we're just so glad to have you as a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends. And you did write a book. I guess Christine Hendricks, your daughter, compiled a number of your writings over the year. And I think you had a practice with all 4 of your daughters when they went to college to weekly write each and every one of them and walk them through Proverbs for each daughter over a year or so through all of Proverbs.
Tell about that.
Well, when Christine went to college, she's my first daughter. I love my daughter, so I really wanted some way to keep connected with them. So I vowed and promised to her, to myself, and to the Lord that I would write a letter every week to her. And so I did. And when my second daughter, 2 years later, went to college, I made that same promise. Third daughter, 2 years after that, the same promise. And the fourth daughter, 2 years thereafter, same promise. So I would be writing 4 letters every week throughout their college years. However, it didn't stop there because I continued to write the letters. In fact, I continue even now writing letters. So I've been writing letters to Christine for something like 24 years.
I'm about to cry right now.
I know. I figured you'd be touched. It is powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, the faithfulness of doing that. And you were dividing or teaching them through some of the Proverbs?
Well, what we did is we went through Proverbs as the first book. And then since that time, we've gone through Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, 1 Peter. In fact, I was writing those letters this morning, as a matter of fact. So it's been an honor and a privilege. But Christine surprised me one Father's Day and had taken the letters over a period of 12 years and put them in a book called Wisdom of Life.
Mm-hmm.
And
Wisdom of Life, Letters from My Dad.
Yeah, correct. And so that was a blessing. Still is a blessing.
And I think when I was at the Muhammad IGA some months back, I remember, do they still have copies there? They had them at the counter near the checkout. I don't know if they're still there.
No, I'm not really sure. Somebody told me yesterday they ordered one on Amazon. I didn't even realize they were still on Amazon.
Okay. So. I want one.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you can do a search on that, The Wisdom of Life, Letters from Dad by Dr. David Webb. And so, yeah, there's many other things I could say, how you've modeled Christ into small groups, into the churches that you've been involved in. I think any church you've been affiliated with, you've had your Bible study that so many of us have loved to join and be a part of. I was at a Pinnacle gathering a few weeks ago, and a dear friend, Mark Kessler, who's going to share one of these Memorization Mondays, he referred to you as not only a father figure, but as a mentor, and that was really neat to connect with you. I hadn't seen you for some time, but that's when I think the Lord started putting it on my heart shortly after that meeting. Dr. Dave Webb, and, you know, 1 John 1:1 is coming up. I think he would be a great fit. So maybe before I ask you, why John 1:1? Why does that flip your switch or light your engine or whatever. What's a metaphor or something for
That's
me, Mary Ann? Okay, those two.
I can't wait to get the Bible study here.
Yeah, okay, so we'll have you read it, Mary Ann. This is from the author himself, Robert J. Morgan, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart. He usually has about 2 pages on each and every verse that we'll be going through. through for the next 98 weeks. In fact, when I looked at it, that takes us to February of 2021. You know, when you set forth something, you think, okay, 100 verses, how long would that take? We'll finish that up this year. No, that's 52 weeks. That's 2 years. That's February of 2021.
You've got a lot of people excited about memorizing these verses, Mark. We can do it.
Yeah, we can. We'll do it all together, everyone.
All right. I will read this. This is our second verse. It's John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There are two great mysteries at the heart of Christianity, the Trinity and the person of Jesus Christ. One, God the three in one, and two, Jesus the two in one. How could God be one God yet eternally exist in three distinct persons? And how can Jesus be one person yet possess two distinct natures, fully God and fully human? This verse touches both mysteries. He, Christ the Word, was God, yet he was with God in the beginning. He was God, yet distinct from God. The great theme of John's Gospel is the divinity of Christ, and it reaches its climax in the declaration of Thomas in John 20:28, My Lord and my God. But the first verse, John 1:1, provides the backdrop for the whole book. Note the progression of logic in this verse. John 1:1 speaks of our Christ's pre-existence. In the beginning was the Word. It also speaks of his coexistence, and the Word was with God. And John 1:1 speaks of his divine existence, and the Word was God. The Trinity and Jesus. Both mysteries are imponderables. We can never fathom.
No pressure, Dave, but we're going to look forward to hearing how you're going to help us understand this a little better, these imponderables we can never fathom.
Which is only to be expected. If God is really God and Jesus is truly who he claims to be, it's been said that a God small enough to be understood isn't big enough to be worshipped. We need a transcendent God who boggles our minds with his immensity and who brings his infinities to bear on our infirmities. We need a gospel that opens with words like these. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now he has a little historical piece here. Georgia Gordon, who grew up in the Deep South in the days of slavery, received no education as a young girl. But one day, she heard a preacher reciting John 1:1. Deeply impressed, she memorized the verse, and when she got home, she asked someone who could read to point out the verse in the Bible. She studied it until she could recognize the words one by one, and she searched through the Bible for others like them. In this way, little by little, she learned to read. She later became a brilliant student at Fisk University in Nashville and one of the famous Jubilee singers from Fisk who introduced black spirituals to the world. Here's a memory tip. Robert,
now for
Morgan
some
has.
Of you that are maybe struggling a little or it's hard or you say, I have a hard time memorizing scripture. What's nice about this book, there's special tips or ways of remembering things or suggestions. And this is a really good one for the first two verses that we're working on together.
Yeah, memory tip. Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1 have a similar chapter and verse address, 1:1, and they start with the same words. Genesis 1:1 focuses on God in the beginning, and John 1:1 on Jesus, the Word, in the beginning. By memorizing them together, you're almost learning two verses as easily as one.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a quote by J.I. Packer. Here are two mysteries for the price of one. The plurality of persons within the unity of God and the union of Godhood and manhood in the person of Christ. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets.
John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Dave, what strikes you
Talk
about this
us.
Verse? What do you love about it?
Well, Mark, when you asked me to consider talking about and discussing with you this verse, it had to be the Holy Spirit, because there's no question the book of John, the Gospel of John, in my mind, is the pinnacle. It is the utmost. It is the most insightful and personal gospel to me. And these words, these beginning words, depict the purpose for which John wrote his gospel. And that purpose is clearly defined by John, even, in chapter 20, verse 30 to 31, where he says, I'm writing this gospel for one reason, and that's to show you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the divine Son of God. So sometimes when you're trying to memorize verses, it's helpful, I think, to know why the writer wrote the book that he wrote it from the verses that you're trying to memorize. What is the purpose? What was on his mind? And the second thing that I think it helps when we try to look at verses and memorize them is to understand the person who wrote this. What is the heart of John the Apostle? That's where I get excited. I get so excited because I think about John. He's writing this gospel 30 to 40 years after Jesus died and was resurrected. You know, Mary had probably been living with him for a period of time, probably in Ephesus, until she died or he died, whichever came first, we don't know. But John had all this time to remember back. And remember, John sees himself, and I don't think it's prideful, as he says he's the most beloved disciple. And I'm sure he's thinking back time and time again how he walked with the Lord. He touched the Lord. That precious time in the Last Supper where he put his head on Jesus' breast. That personal, beautiful interaction between John and this Lord Jesus. And remembering back, he said, I touched, I walked with, I spoke with the Creator of all matter, of all creation, of all heavens and earth. I was there with him. And he is so overtaken with the idea that this Son of God walked in this earth and brought us life, that he has to write this gospel saying, this is the divine Son of God who came to the earth. And I love how he starts this word, okay? In the beginning was the Word. And as the author had said, in the beginning in the Greek is the same Greek word that's in Genesis 1:1. So we have the same Greek word. Because actually what we're talking about is the creation story. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why did John represent Jesus as the Word? And he did. If you look at next week, you're going to talk about John 1:14, where he clearly defines who this Word is, and that's Jesus. Why does John use this concept of the Word to represent and to refer to Jesus? Well, if you think about this concept of the Word, Word is what comes from us. It's breath. It's life. Okay? We can't say words without breath, without air. And that air is what gives us life. That's how, as a physician, I understand that without exchanging air, you cannot live. So this Word comes out of the depth of the Creator. If you look back in Genesis 1:1, the Word is what brought all things into fruition. The Father has a thought, an idea, a plan, an intention. And to enact that plan, that intention, he speaks the Word, which is Jesus. And it says, even in John 2:3, it says, he was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made. So that at the very beginning, in Genesis 1:1, Jesus was the enactment of the thought of the Father. He brought everything into existence. And if you go to Colossians 2, not only does he keep it, bring it into existence, he maintains it in existence. Oftentimes when I'm with a patient and I'm praying with them afterwards, we recognize that Jesus is the author of your life. He's the maintainer of your life. He's the sustainer of your life. Without him, you would fall apart. The Word, the breath of God, the breath of the Father, the idea of the Father is brought into reality by Jesus Christ. And what's neat is that Genesis 1:1, it's the beginning of the substantive world that we live in, the substantive universe that we live in. But in John 1:1, the creation is now a recreation. We are now reborn, become a new creation. We are given new life. In Genesis 1:1, there's darkness, and God forms light out of that darkness. In John 1:1, the darkness of the fallen, depraved, sinful world, into that, the light of God, which John refers to Jesus later on as, the light of God shines, the word of God brings life, and as Paul says in Romans 6, we die with Christ, we rise with Christ, and we live in Christ Jesus. We now are recreated. That's why I say that this is part of the whole creation mystery that God is doing in our life.
Wow.
You know, one thought, I don't think I've ever had this, and I've read through the Bible many times, the influence that Mary may have had on John's writing. Because, you know, at the cross, Jesus looks down at John, looks down at Mary, Mary, your son, John, your mother, take her. And I've never thought that Mary may have had a role recounting some things.
Yeah,
but yeah, and then
so many
other things.
Well, so many other things.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So for maybe somebody scanning the dial, driving to work, or maybe unfamiliar with the Bible, when we say Jesus is God, Jesus is the Word, how can we give that meaning to somebody that's unfamiliar with having a relationship with God or God being personal?
Well, we are all, if we're honest with ourselves, we are all living with a lack of peace and a lack of joy. You know, we may think we have happiness. We may think we have possessions. But I have spoken with so many people and in my career as a physician. And without a new recreated life, which I'll get to in a second, we live in a place of depravity. A lack of peace, a lack of joy. We try to buy it with possessions. We try to buy it with various other worldly, fleshy type of things. But down deep where we live, there's no joy. Mm-hmm. There's no peace. And what happens when we're recreated? When we say to Jesus, I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to be a different new creation. And your Bible, and I have to choose to believe this or not believe it, but if you choose to believe what the Bible says, it says that if you accept Jesus as a Lord and Savior, if dying on the cross because you need to be forgiven of your sins, you need to be cleansed and made clean and new. And what that means is as you believe that, this Spirit of God called the Holy Spirit comes and begins a work in you and begins to make you a new creation. And as you are made a new creation, you start to begin to experience something that you've never experienced, that the world cannot offer, and that is peace. That is joy. You begin to say, it's not me that it's about. And we start to do this thing called dying to yourself, which is unknown in flesh. We live for ourselves in the flesh. Go for all the gusto you can, you know, number one. But as you're becoming recreated, something happens and you say, you know what? I want to start living for something bigger than myself. And that's the kingdom of God.
Yeah, that's learning to entrust ourselves to a God that loves us. I think so many people are maybe blinded or preoccupied with themselves that they forget that there's a sovereign God, creator of the universe, that created that individual, that created you, created me, that he has a desire and an interest in us. He wants to bless us. He wants to have a relationship with us. But he's a good God. He's a caring God, full of compassion. Yes, he's holy. Yes, he's just. He's righteous. But he provided a way for us to have that intimate, personal relationship with him. And it's a free gift as we follow and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh, what a great verse. Thank you, Dr. David Webb, for being a part of today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends Memorization Mondays. You can find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. Sign up. We have books. We'd love to get God's Word into your heart and mind. Think about it all week long. Think about how God will use his word to transform you, to equip you, to share his love with others. And it's his word. It's inspired. It's inerrant. It'll help you in so many different ways. And thank you, Dave, for your commitment to preaching it, to teaching it these many, many years.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you, Marianne, for joining me for the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Dr. David Webb with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.